All right, let's... take our Bibles. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we'll go there in just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 2. And so glad that our returning students are back. We've missed you this summer. Glad you're back here in school. And of course, all of our new students that are here. Let me just say, you made the right choice. Coming over here this morning, I thought, you know, what a great place to be. You know, none of our students were asked this weekend to go to a party. But how many of you were asked to join a bus route? How many were asked several times to join a bus route? How many were already on a bus route, but you were asked to join a bus route, you know? You know, it just shows you the passion of our college. We're not trying to get you to go to a party. We're trying to reach people for Christ. We're trying to reach people that need the gospel. And boy, I'm so glad to be part of such a great institution. And you know, colleges all across the country started this week. But you know, for such a time as this, you're here. And the fact that you're sitting in chapel today is not a mistake. God knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. And this is exactly where you need to be. And I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you, visitors, for being here today. Brother Tim Holman, good to see you and your wife. And Brother Tim worked on my bus route when he was in college. Probably, I'd have to say, one of the best bus workers I ever had, and hardworking, and I promoted him. I asked him to be a bus captain, and years ago, we used to have bus routes go to Aurora, Illinois. Aurora is the second largest city in Illinois, and how many miles one way from Hammond or from, you remember? Yeah, an hour and a half to get there. You'd have to go through probably two or three toll booths to get out to Aurora. But I remember big days of people over 100 people, I think 130 something you brought one time on one big day, all the way from Aurora, Illinois, and if you can imagine that, and some of you guys are in South Chicago, can't find 50 people. But anyway, we'll save that for another time. Sorry. Oh man, that was first week of college, and we'll save that for night bus. But Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll look at a few verses here, starting in verse number 11. Nehemiah is one of my favorite Bible characters, and I love to read about the story of Nehemiah and just so many things about him that I'll share with you this morning that I think can be inspirational, can be perhaps intimidating and maybe even a little bit convicting. And I hope you'll listen to the message today and follow along. In these verses that I read, I'll begin reading in verse number 11, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. I know, I apologize, it's a little warm in here, but bear with me. I won't take my whole 30 minutes, but I do want you to listen to the message today. It says in verse number 11, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man." And I want you to read the little next phrase with me out loud. Ready? "What my God had put in my heart to do." Stop right there. Read that again. "What my God had put in my heart to do." You know, I believe this is a key to the story of Nehemiah and his life, that God put something in his heart to do something. You know, God wants you to do something. And here at Howells Anderson, we'll teach you what to be and how to be a good Christian. But it's just not who you are, but it's also what you do. Let me continue reading. At Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by the night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. And we'll stop reading right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Hiles Anderson College. Thank you for the faculty, for the staff. Thank you for our students. And Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for what you have done and what you mean in our life. And I pray that you would please bless these next few moments. And I pray you use the message to be an encouragement and a help to someone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, it's a familiar story to most everybody in this room. And Nehemiah, of course, in chapter 1, heard the terrible news about Jerusalem and how the enemy had come and destroyed the city and the walls of the city. And of course, the walls of Jerusalem were there to provide protection. And of course, without the walls being there, it made the city very, very vulnerable. And so it was a dire situation. And Nehemiah, having heard that news, began to put together a plan after assessing the damage and going and seeing for himself what all had taken place, and then meeting with the Jewish people and coming up with a plan. After getting permission from the king and even getting resources from the king to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And with much opposition, the walls of the city are rebuilt in less than 60 days. And this seemed like an impossible task, but with God, the impossible becomes a reality. God wants to use you to do what you think is impossible. Some of you are sitting here today and you don't think that God even knows you're here, but can I tell you, God knows you're here. And God wants to use you to do something that you think is impossible. You know, if you were to ask me, this gentleman that's visiting our campus today, 45 years ago, what year was that? 1979. I came in 1983, a few years after you came. And you know, if you were to tell me my freshman year as sitting at Hiles Anderson College that one day that I would be preaching in College Chapel, I'd think that's impossible. There's no way. I mean, I'm who am I? But I'm going to tell you something. With God, anything's possible. And God wants to use you to do what you think is impossible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Who is him? It's God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the Bible says, "But with God, nothing shall be impossible." With God, all things are possible. We have seniors in this room, and you're very close to finishing. And let me say that it is possible for you to finish and receive your diploma and then go out of here and do something for God. Do something. Do something. Don't just sit somewhere. Don't just take all this information that you've learned in Bible college and go to a church and sit, but go somewhere and do something. Go to a city, go to a country, go somewhere and do something for God. Nothing is impossible, because with God, everything is impossible. I want to this morning just take a few moments and I want to look at a few things that I believe about Nehemiah, some reasons why I think God chose him to do what he did. First of all, I want you to notice that Nehemiah was a man, who somebody who had compassion. You know, if you go back to chapter number one in Nehemiah, you'll see In verse number 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." When he heard the devastating news of what had happened, the first thing he does is he just has to sit down and he begins to weep. And I believe with all my heart that God is looking for somebody who cares. Somebody who cares. You know, it's hard to care about other people when you're consumed with yourself. It's hard to have compassion and care about other people when you're consumed with your own needs and your own problems and your own issues. One of the things I love about the bus ministry, and many of you on the weekend, you'll spend your Saturdays and your Sundays on the bus route. And one of the things I love about the bus ministry is any of the weights and burdens of life that I would carry throughout the week. Maybe it was my classes, maybe it was my finances, maybe it was my job or whatever it is. I could just kind of lay them down and just go to the bus route and go help somebody else. And it just seemed like that every week when I would go with that spirit and that attitude, I'd always find somebody on the bus route that had it far worse than I did. And with that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit, I'd always come back and I was gladly willing to lift my own burdens, my own problems, and bear it, having spent the weekend caring about somebody else. You know, God's looking for people who care. God's looking for young people who have a heart and a passion for other people. You know, the reason you're here today is because somebody cared about you. Somebody cared about you. Somebody's prayed for you. Someone has loved you. And now you're here in Bible college. And can I say to you this morning, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. You've been on the receiving end of so much wonderful good and grace and mercy and love and compassion. And you've been on the receiving end, just taking it all in. And there's nothing wrong with that. And your parents have given, and your teachers have given, and your youth workers have given, and preachers have given to you. And now it's time for you to give back. Now it's time for you to give to somebody else what people have been giving you all your life. God's looking for somebody who cares. I also notice about Nehemiah that he was willing to step up and fill a need. And let me just stop and just kind of emphasize this point here, because we've got too many people that are running and hiding from responsibility, and we really need somebody to step up and say, "Here am I." And if I could just kind of pick on the men a little bit this morning, quit running from responsibility. Quit running and hiding from opportunities. Step up and fill the need. Step up and be willing to do whatever is needed for God and for others. In John chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are all white already to harvest." God's looking for a generation of people that will open their eyes and see the great need. I hope this weekend, and how many are freshmen? Raise your hand. You're here for the very first time. Scores of you here today, you know. Glad that you're here. But let me encourage you this weekend while you busy your bus route, visit with your eyes open. And even the returning students, let me encourage you, visit with your eyes open. Open your eyes and see the need. Open your eyes and see that there's hundreds and thousands of people that you will come across. You'll walk past their houses. You'll walk past the apartments where they live, and many of them, and maybe most of them, are lost, and they're going to spend eternity in hell and need somebody to share the gospel. Need somebody that'll knock on their door and say, "Can I invite you to church? Can I share with you and tell you how to go to heaven when you die?" Open your eyes, lift up your eyes, and see the need. Lives that need to be changed. churches that need pastors. Traveling on tour, we only went for a couple of weeks, went with this fine group here on the front row, and just in that short time, there were at least two pastors who were up in years. Their health and their age would require them to eventually step down. And they say, Brother John, if you know anybody that would come and I could mentor them for a while and then be a pastor. They're looking for pastors. Churches need pastors. And young men in Bible colleges like this need to lift up their eyes and see that there's such a great need. And if God would call you, if God would lead you to pastor a church, be willing. Just say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Open your eyes and see countries that need missionaries. Open your eyes and see the world is in great need, and there's a tremendous burden for people to go. We need more soldiers. We need more soul winners. We need more servants of Christ. But you know, that all starts while you're in college being a need filler. Looking for needs and say, you know, where can I fill a need? Is there a soul that needs to be won? I'll do it. And I didn't come from a church, a soul-winning church like First Baptist. Matter of fact, when I came to Bible college, I had never won a soul to Christ. Wouldn't know how to. And when I got into college here, one of the first classes I took was personal evangelism. And I'm so glad that I enrolled in that class as they taught me how to win somebody to Christ. And I remember being nervous and being scared, but wanting to be able to lead someone to Christ. And I remember the very first young man I ever led to the Lord was up in Chicago. We were on North Avenue near Campbell Street. And I had the opportunity. He was about 21 years old. And I took the Bible and I showed him how to be saved. And boy, I tell you, it was a great day in my life. Somebody has to fill and be willing to fill those needs. Be a need filler while you're in college, on your bus route, in your soul-winning ministry, winning souls, discipling converts, preaching and teaching, getting a part, getting involved and being a part of the ministry while you're in college, praying for others now. Praying for others now. Getting a list of your bus riders and going through that list and praying for your riders. You know, I often think, I preached to our City Baptist kids yesterday at chapel, and I couldn't help, as I preached to them, I couldn't help but wonder, I wonder how many people pray for them. I'd like to think their parents do, but unfortunately, I know a lot of their families, and they don't have parents that know how to pray. And I just couldn't help but think, I hope there's a bus captain. I hope there's a bus worker somewhere that's lifting their name up to the Lord in prayer because they need prayer. You know, praying for other people and learning names and figuring out how to. We started a church in Albany Park last October, and I've made it a mission to, as I would pray, I did it for with my bus route, I would pray for my bus list. I pray for the adults in our church. We had a man and his wife come a few months ago, And then they stopped coming, or they didn't come for about 3 weeks. And then they showed up again. And I walked up to them, and I welcomed them to church. And I called them by name. I said, Leonard and Anita, so glad you guys came today. And he told me afterwards, he goes, I can't believe you remembered our name. You know why I remembered their name? I've been praying for them. They're on my list. I've been praying for them. And you know, when you pray for people, boy, not only will, and he was so impressed by that. And I wasn't trying to impress him. I wanted him to know that there was a church that cares about people. I need to move on. Nehemiah was a man who had compassion. He was willing to step up and fill the need, but he was also someone who was listening to the voice of God. I love that little phrase, what my God had put in my heart. I'm so glad that I was listening to the voice of God when he spoke to me about salvation. I'm so glad that I was listening to the voice of God when I decided to separate myself from the world and get rid of some music that was not Christ-like and decided to begin acting and living like a Christian. It was a good day in my life when I listened to God about my lifestyle. It was a good day in my life. I'm so glad I was listening to God when I surrendered to the ministry. I'm so glad that I was listening to the voice of God when he spoke to me about coming to Howells Anderson College. I'm so glad that I came. One of the things I've missed about being here this morning is not seeing Brother Pence. I don't know if I ever preached in chapel. All the years that I have, different times I've preached in chapel where I did not run into Brother Pence and he wouldn't say good job. To the point where I'd look for him after chapel. You know, because I knew there would be somebody on our faculty that would always encourage me and say, good job. I'm so glad that I surrendered. I was listening to the voice of God and surrendered to come to Howells Anderson. Let me encourage you to listen to the voice of God this year. Don't allow the noise of the world drown out the voice of God. Don't allow the noise of that comes from your cell phone to drown out the voice of God. Don't let the noise of your friends and your peers drown out the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Let God speak to you this year. I believe with all my heart, God's going to speak. That's not a question. God is going to speak in our chapel services this year. The real question is, will you be listening to the voice of God as he speaks? Nehemiah had a vision of doing something for God. And that vision came by seeing the destruction. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And I can tell you, my first weekend at Howells Anderson, going up to the north side of Chicago in the Humboldt Park neighborhood where I was recruited to visit that weekend, mine eye affected my heart. When I visited those young people, I saw the destruction, if you will. I saw the sin and the brokenness. When I saw the emptiness in their eyes, and mine eye affected my heart. And I couldn't help, as a student at Howells Anderson, to have a vision of wanting to do something for God and for others. Having a vision to see something that was not a reality, but wanting God to do something through me that would increase the kingdom of heaven, that would bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just to be a spectator. Not just to sit in the grandstand and kind of watch things happen and watch things as they play out, but to be on the field and be one of the participants and be part of the team and say, God, here I am. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of the team of people that are doing something for God. I want to do something for the Lord. To have a vision. As many of you in this room, God has already put something in your heart. God has already tapped you on the shoulder. You've already surrendered and you've given yourself to whatever it is that God wants you to be and do. Let me encourage all of you to have a vision of doing something for God. Have a vision. But let me just say this. When you get a vision of something, doing something for God, know this, there'll always be a villain. As soon as Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls, what happens? The enemy comes. Don't be surprised. The next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months, if there's not opposition, it'll come into your life that'll try to get you to quit. What is that? Who is that? It's a villain. It's the devil. Because the devil knows the potential in this room. You know, I don't know if we could do this, and I don't think it's possible. But I wonder if, and I think in heaven we'll find out the numbers of people that have been saved through the influence of just this one Bible college, this one church. And the devil knows the potential of Hiles Anderson students. He knows that if you graduate from college and you put it out there that you want to be used of God, that you may go pastor a church and reach people for Christ, and you may become a missionary and be the next Kevin Wynn or be the next Rick Martin and do something for God. And boy, the devil knows that. Boy, if you knew what the devil knew, boy, you'd understand. That's why he's going to fight. That's why there's going to be opposition. That's why there's going to be difficult days. The devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you. Well, I hope you'll have the character and have enough vision for your life to understand that what it is. This is coming to my life to try to keep me from doing something for God. When the enemy came to Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, "Why should I come down to you? Why should the work cease while I come down to you?" And by the way, when you give in to the devil, the work stops. When you give in to discouragement, the work stops. When you give in to distraction, the work stops. When you give in to deception, the work stops. I understand discouragement. I understand homesickness. I moved here from Massachusetts. How many in here from Massachusetts? One? I got one friend in the whole room. You live on the western part, right? You don't park the car, right? No, okay. We park the car where I'm from. I was the only person that came from my home church, the Hiles Anderson. I don't know if there's anybody that came from my home state that were at Hiles Anderson that year. You talk about homesick. You say, "Did you cry?" No, I won't tell you if I did or not. Yeah, I cried. Nothing wrong with it. Why? You know, there's nothing wrong with loving your family. There's nothing wrong with missing your home church and missing your mom and dad. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with missing what life was. I went home my freshman year and decided that I would go home my freshman year. But when I came back my sophomore year, I decided that I would come back to school and I would just stay until I finished. I wouldn't go home for a long extended period of time. And one of the things I realized after coming back my sophomore year, that what I missed about home wasn't there anymore. Because what I missed is I missed being a kid. I missed being a teenager. I missed my dad paying my bills. I missed my mom's home cooking. I missed my mom doing my laundry. And I realized that I needed to grow up. And I needed to finish what I started. And I needed to figure out some things on my own. I decided that I was going to stay and not quit. Know this, that when you have a vision to do something for God, there will be a villain. There will be opposition. You will struggle at some point while you're in college. But just remember this. That villain comes. The enemy comes. Devil comes because he wants to destroy the potential that you have for the Lord. But then remember, if you'll be faithful to the Lord, there's always, with God's help, there's victory. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says, "So the wall was finished." And that's what everybody in this room needs to decide the first week that you're here in college, that you're going to finish. You're going to finish what you started. And you're not going to let opposition keep you from graduation or keep you from fulfilling the perfect will of God for your life. But know this, it will take God's help. You will need God to help you get through this semester, help you get through this year. Let me encourage you sometime this week, if you haven't done this already, and I know this is a We have a lot of students in our dorms, but let me encourage you to find a place somewhere on this campus, maybe outside, maybe inside of a building, but find a place where you can spend time in this book. And find a place where you can pour out your complaint to the Lord. Find a place where you can talk to God. Don't let the busyness of your schedule keep you from having time with the Lord, because you will need God's help to see victory. And there needs to be a daily time where you walk with the Lord. A daily time where you read the Bible and share your heart, your burdens with God. Because with God's help, there is victory. Lord, I pray that you would help our students this morning to understand that they have great potential and that nothing is impossible. I pray that you'd help our students to not get weary in the fight, overcome discouragement and overcome distractions and even the devil's deception. Lord, help us to rely on you and depend on you to finish what we've begun, this journey that we have begun. Help us to finish and fulfill the perfect will that you have for our life. Piano begins to play. If you want to take a moment and just kneel at your seat, if you want to come to the altar, feel free to do that. Take some time right there and just talk to the Lord. Ask God to give you grace, give you strength, that inner man strength to withstand whatever comes into your life. Ask God to give you the resources you need. If you need a job, pray for a job.